Dungeons & Dragons, it's our most requested podcast to bring back, so they're working with us to create a five-part series. Thank you to Dungeons & Dragons for sponsoring us. Yay! New episodes will go live every single Monday as a little bonus, US time. US time Monday. Okay. we're still new to D&D, so please bear with us, you know. But we like playing video games together, and now we're using our imaginations. Mm.
And everyone seemed to love it, too.
This is
like the most
it.
Requested thing. So.
Can I just say that it took Cray 3 weeks to figure out that my character was based off him?
I was about to say that.
Literally, your name backwards. 3 weeks.
And I'm a dwarf. I can't believe you did this to me.
Like, my feelings are hurting roleplay, so it's all right.
My feelings are hurting real life. And we're joined by the Dungeon Master, Dave!
Hello! Thank you for having me back.
He's back. Let's, our characters. I am Kaskian. I forget how to pronounce it. I am Kaskian, a human fighter.
A variant human fighter, I think you insisted on being called last time.
Yep, okay, that's me. That, ready
that's
to go.
Battle cry.
Everyone has to give off one. Okay, introducing Fruity. Baz.
Men
first, I guess.
Okay. Short guy go last. Yeah.
I'm Jenny. I don't remember why I picked that name, Jenny. But that was annoying. I think I'm this really old woman in a young woman's body, and I'm really bitter about life. Oh, I had a magic too. Yeah, and I'm
a Kalashta. Yeah, Kalashta arcane trickster, technically. Yeah.
And I am Yark. We don't have to. You can spell it. YARC. Yark. Yeah, Cray backwards. You get it by now. Hey. Just putting it out there. My character is completely based off of Cray and how he is IRL. I'm a dwarf. I'm sneaky sometimes.
Sometimes you tried to stab someone in the back the last episode and he threw you or something.
I got blinded at one point. I don't know if that.
Yeah, weren't you stunned for half the game?
I was.
You were stunned for like five.
I'm trying to avoid that this time. I would like to take a bit more of a actually being in the game role. So. Let's see if that works.
I mean, I don't think anyone covered themselves in glory in the last game. You did manage to kill Elspire Marrow, the captain of the Red Lancers.
Yes, I did do that.
Almost died. Cray ran away from most things, and Yark was made to dance in front of the villains for a while.
Oh, yeah, you just made me dance for like an hour.
Sorry about that.
So we'll see how we go. We're ready to start this, new adventure.
Yes, let's go.
Okay, so nestled in the north of the Sword Coast is the small town of Long Saddle, a few days' ride from Neverwinter Keep and the rest of the civilized world. The hardy ranchers and farmers of Long Saddle are known for their tough natures and excellent beef, but the town also makes home for a number of adventurers, mercenaries, and swords for hire. Now, one of the smaller companies for hire is the Three of You. Since your adventures in Brightwater months ago, you have traveled far north, working where you can and for what you can get. It's not been an easy life. Early in your careers, as I said, you crossed paths with a mercenary company called the Red Lancers and exploded their captain, Sir Elspire Marrow, to death in an alchemy wagon. The Lancers have no proof that you did this, but they have their suspicions and they have not forgotten, and they have spread lies and slander about your abilities up and down the Sword Coast. So you've made powerful enemies. Therefore, it is something of a surprise when a well-dressed gnome shows up at the tavern that you operate out of these days, which is a cheap and nasty joint called the Horn and Hoof. The bartender, Muntz, waves him up to your table. He's a small gnome, little mop of hair, and a quite severe suit. And he stares down some horn-rimmed spectacles at you and he says, hello, my name is Lanlan Quislig. I'm here on business. Can I sit down?
I just want everyone to know I'm laughing in the back. I'm snickering in the background because I've never seen a gnome before, and this is hilarious to me.
What is this? A magic show? Yeah. This guy's tiny.
I don't know, gnomes could just walk around. I thought they just sat on gardens.
Yeah. Baz, this is like a big day for you.
This would be Baz's day. I think.
I nudge Baz because he relates to the gnome because he's short.
I'd walk past him and push him down. Push him, but like, you know, when you nudge someone, like that. I would like not, you know, dismiss
don't bully
him.
The gnome?
I'm not bullying. I'm just nudging past him while you.
Oh yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to get in the way of the bar. And he nervously steps back. He's not a fighter.
I invite him to sit down and call him a shorty because I noticed that he's slightly shorter than I am, and it doesn't happen.
Oh, yes, because of my height. Very good. Yes, very fine. Very, very, very fresh, sir. Wonderful.
About time someone else has to deal with it. I'm sick of it. Yes, of course. Yeah. Sit down. Let's have a drink.
Okay, well, you've pushed me, insulted me. I suppose you'd like to know why I'm here now.
Of course, yeah. Why? What are you doing? What are you doing here, Shorty?
I'm here to hire some adventurers. You've probably heard of my mistress, the widow Anatolia Grimm.
Never heard of her. No.
I had her last night, my dear friend.
Make a history check. You've all been in town for a little bit. Make a history check, and I'll tell you if you remember her.
I hit a 12 for a total of 11.
Okay, you don't remember her.
19.
Okay, so Kath, Jenny has heard of her. The widow Grimm is a newly arrived foreign widow who is meant to be quite rich, a little bit older, very beautiful.
Bitch. Sorry.
She's staying in the Gilded Horseshoe, which is the nice tavern, which is not the one you're staying at.
On. She gets everything.
She's arrived with a small sort of team of butlers and retainers a few days ago in Long Saddle, and she's throwing a bit of money around, so everybody's a bit excited.
Ooh.
Yes, my mistress has asked me to hire adventurers, the sort that don't mind getting their hands dirty. I've been instructed to reach out to all of the companies in the town.
Oh, well, it just so happens that me and my friend, you might have heard of us. What's our, we have actually a group name that we have, and we're very successful adventurers.
The Three Stooges.
Name? No.
Is that copyrighted?
No, not the Three Stooges. The cool, handsome, funny, smart adventure.
Okay,
game.
It's too long.
It's an acronym.
The cool,
there's an acronym
handsome,
for it. Yep.
Funny, smart, adventurous.
Adventure gang. Use the acronym if you want, make it easier.
Oh, the CHFSAG.
Yes,
the
of course. Nice. See, you have heard of us. See?
Ah, oh, the Chufsags, wonderful. How upsetting.
A look of pure disgust.
Deeply distressing. Nevertheless, we are locking that in for the next 5 episodes. Wonderful, yes. Wonderful.
Oh, God.
Well, if you would be so kind as to meet with my mistress, she is meeting with prospective adventurers today in the parlor rooms of the Gilded Horseshoe. It's just down the road. If you go headed right now, you can probably catch her.
I stand up immediately, kicking the chair from out of me, and I say, Gnome, take us to your horny mistress.
But my name is Lanlin, but...
Lanlin, little man, I point down at him and say, onwards, and I point to the door.
Okay, well, I guess we're going then, and he sort of puts his little book away, and he's like, and he starts to lead you away with the bartender curiously looking at the small party as you head out. So heading down the streets, Long Saddle, you could spit across town. It's this tiny little village. You head to the one nice place in town, the Gilded Horseshoe, and outside you see trouble before it spots you, because loitering outside is 2 mercenaries wearing the red and gold jerkins of the Red Lancers, your sort of enemy mercenary company, who are also now operating out of the town. They haven't spotted you, but they're having a conversation in the doorway, and you're going to have to go past them.
I throw my quarterstaff in his head.
No, you don't.
I throw my quarterstaff.
I picture up my quarterstaff. I catch it in my hand, and I peg it at one of their heads.
That is such a strong opening play.
Before he does this, I try to count it and to stop him from doing this.
Oh, amazing.
That he's
okay, this
sword
is...
mid-air, whatever.
Let's roll. Let's use better, Fruity.
Oh, my God.
Let's roll.
Okay,
roll
I need off. You both to make dexterity checks for me.
Oh, it looks like I've got +4 to that, Fruity. Good luck, my friend.
I don't see mine.
No, I rolled a 21.
14.
14. You're never getting a dexterity roll-off with a rogue. So You rolled a 21?
Yeah, 21.
How'd you roll a 21?
It's 17+4, baby, let's go. Acrobatics.
+4, 2.
Instantly, without batting a sweat, like a psychopath, some would say, you quickly hoist your quarterstaff and just peg it at the head lancer as hard as you can, who I am I'm afraid to say, because I just rolled an 18, turns... Oh. Without even turning his head, his hand snaps up and he grabs the quarterstaff, and then he turns and looks at you and breaks it in half.
I smile.
Just say you tripped. It was an accident.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna. I look towards the lancer and I say, "Nice reflexes, my fellow acrobatic."
You passed the test.
You're no fellow of mine, all right?
Oh, no.
Your heart sinks because you realize it's Jostic Marrow, the lieutenant of the Lancers in town.
What's a lieutenant? Can I have my quarterstaff back?
Yeah, Demeter, give him his quarterstaff back. And he sort of throws the two broken parts of the quarterstaff to a very sickly-looking elf who's standing next to him, who looks at you, sneers, and throws it on the ground.
I grovel in the mud and pick it up.
Yeah, that's right. Remember your betters, son. Don't think we haven't forgotten what you did to our Elspire. What are you doing here anyway?
I've come with my fellow party to meet the mistress.
The actions of my friend, I just interrupt, the actions of my friend do not represent that of the group. Just wanted to put that out there.
I don't feel like I'm a part of this group. I'm just a passerby.
And she's also with us as well. She's involved with what is happening here as I kind of step back.
Just doing the slow walking back until you're in a different group. Social distancing.
My dear Lancer, do not believe the rumors. This is my party of friends here, and we're here for some work.
The only work you're going to be doing in this town is... something lame. Oh, shit, I don't have anything. Demeter, what's something that I could be doing? Cleaning up pig shit. Yeah, that's right, cleaning up pig shit. And all the lancers laugh. They suck so much.
Are they laughing because it was funny or they're just kind of, because it's the leader and they kind of feel like they have to?
Oh, it's 100% because it's the leader. Jostic is part of the Marrow family and they basically run the Red Lancers. Elspire was as well. This would be some distant cousin of his, much bigger guy. But they're laughing, but they're not stopping you. So you're able to walk in meekly with your broken quarterstaff
in hand.
And you are shown in Lanlin, who sort of, by the way, just let you eat shit in that situation. Didn't stand up for you, possibly because you bullied him as soon as he walked into your bar. Just sort of looks at you as if he's reassessing what your fee's going to be. And
oh, no.
That takes you in to the tea parlor, where there is a woman in a high-necked black dress sitting alone with four cups of tea in front of her. And he... Lanlin indicates, keeps a respectful distance, and he says, "The Widow Grimm," and suggests that you should go forward.
I push my two allies aside, and I work up in a flirtatious manner, sultry even, almost like a strut.
You have misread this, but keep going.
And I walk up, and I say, "Hello, my lady. I hear you're looking for some brave adventurers to do some work for you."
What's the body language like, just so I understand?
It's quite kind of like I'm leaning over, kind of like a Prince Charming with like a hand just below my neck, and my fingers are like pressed up against my chest, looking very flirtatious looking, you know, very, very sultry even. Like I'm smoldering, you know, and I'm being very charming.
Do you want to make for me a charisma check?
Yes, charisma.
I think just we'll call it charisma.
Is that intimidation, charisma? Because that's
persuasion. There's three types of charisma checks. Yeah, there's persuasion, deception, and intimidation. So really it depends on
persuasion. I'm trying to persuade her. I'm trying to be charming. Let's roll, please, please, please. I hit a three and I got a four. So plus one, I got a four.
All right. So yeah, I think you lean down as suavely as you can. You put your hand, you sort of try to create some proximity with her, and you lean in, and as you do, you accidentally just knock one of the tea glasses and it falls down into your lap and starts staining it. And she looks at you and she's like, "Lanlin, a cloth for our new friends."
I look behind me, looking at my party, my members of my... What was the appreciation?
The cool, handsome, funny, smart,
cool,
and magic
handsome
gang.
Friends. And I kind of like nudge with eyes looking bewildered for them to come forward and to help me.
I guess I'll kind of like hobble forward.
Okay. Go for young.
I'll kind of hobble forward. And be like, "Hey, we're looking for work. Who could give us anything around here?"
Yes, Lanlin comes in to help. And he goes, "These were your 11 o'clock, ma'am. The Chufsags." And she says, yes, very good. All of you sit down, please. Sit down.
Thank you. I kind of like jump up to the chair because it's built for normal size people.
I stay standing.
So I kind of jump onto it.
All right, you're just going to stand. That's weird, but okay.
Can I steal one of the teacups while I sit down too and just like drink it straight?
Well, they're nice teacups. Yeah, you could try.
Yeah, I'm going to do that just as like a power play. Yeah.
Little sleight of hand check in that case, Kath. That's one of your skills at the bottom.
Oh, 19.
So, yeah, you very competently, like the klepto that apparently your character is, sips your cup and then instead of putting it at the table, you sort of slip it into a false pocket that you have in your cloak. And,
a cup? Okay, I wanted this, yes.
Awesome. Well, you've got it now. These are nice teacups too. They're worth about 10 gold coins each. Everything at the Gilded Horseshoe is nice. So nobody notices, and Anatolia leans in and she says, I want to warn you, I've been speaking to a lot of adventuring parties. I'm looking for someone who's willing to head west to the ruins of the old Ivy Mansion. Something is buried there that belonged to my grandmother and is of great sentimental value to my family, and I am willing to pay for its return.
Yark interrupts and says, I've actually been west before in that kind of general direction. Not specifically just in west in general. So, you know, I've travelled west before from a certain...
He has walked west.
So I can help with that.
You're familiar with the compass direction, right?
Yes, I have gone the direction of west before, so I can do it again.
West, easy. East, yes. Don't ask about it.
No,
real
west
problem.
is my main calling.
Well, okay. Do you have anything else to recommend? Lanlin, write that down. Been west before. Is there anything else that your party has to recommend it?
Say someone.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. I kind of like move forward as if to go towards her ear and I whisper in her ear, We beat the Lancers. we're the ones who killed the Lancers. We killed him. It was me. I stabbed him and I bashed their heads in. That's what I whispered to her. I whisper that to her. No
her
joke.
Her eye rises, and it's not clear if it's because of how forward you're being in invading her personal space or because she's impressed, but she looks at you with a fresh eye and she says, yes, I think I might have found my adventurers. I'll pay you 300 gold coins in advance and 1,200 coins on receipt of the ring. How does that sound?
301.
I cough in her ear and I say, 301. After listening to my fellow companion Yuck's advice.
Make a persuasion check for me.
Okay, persuasion.
For that extra one gold coin.
I hit a 3.
Oh, no. You're not seriously considering this, are you? And you hear a voice at the end of the parlor, and Jostick has wandered in and has been listening in to the conversation. I told your man, Miss Grimm, if you need help, the Red Lancers are here to serve. Tell you what, we'll do it for you. Forget the advance. We'll do it for the 1,200 gold coins. But if we get the ring first, you have to sign a contract exclusive to us, see? Means you never work with these wretched reprobates again. How does that sound? She looks interested and doesn't say anything, and Lanlin says, well, I suppose we could be persuaded, unless there's a counteroffer from the Chuffsags. He doesn't seem to like saying it, by the way.
I just want to make note that we have a 100% success rate with large-scale missions. We've done one before and completed it, so we are 100% ratio. Therefore, we're probably 100% guaranteed to get this as well. So I just want to make that point
out
there.
I do a karate pose.
You ready to accept the challenge? Because we know we're going to be successful.
And I need to repair my quarterstaff.
As an alpha play, we don't disregard the fee. We still want the 301 coins because our
we're so confident.
We're so confident
we're
in
so
our skills.
Confident, cash in advance.
Yeah. I stand on top of the chair and I do my karate pose again. Karate pose.
That's
posing.
Good because you got to respect yourself, right, in business.
Exactly.
If you don't respect yourself, no one else will. Look, this doesn't need to be an argument, Mr. Quisling says. You send your party, whoever brings the ring back gets paid. How about we do it that way?
Yes, sounds excellent. Let's do it. Can we still have the 300 gold? And I turn around and I point to the woman and I say, I broke my quarterstaff.
Yes, of course. Lanlin, pay them, please. And Lanlin comes with a small purse and he gives it to you, Janny, and it has 300 gold coins. And then she reaches into a small pocket inside her dress and she flicks a coin at you, Cray.
I catch it out the air and say, thanks, baby.
Just a little something extra for you as requested.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now, the ring I am looking for has my family crest, but it's easy to spot. A gold ring embedded with a star sapphire. If you bring it back to me here in the Gilded Horseshoe, I will have 1,200 gold coins for the team to retrieve it first. And Mara looks at her. She says, and yes, I suppose whoever receives it will become my exclusive adventurers in Long Saddle from here on in. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Well, then I guess you all have work to do, and I'm going to have my morning constitutional, so if you'll excuse me. And she starts to get up and leave.
The hell is a constitutional?
I don't know what that is, so I just kind of ignore it.
I look odd.
It's basically like a fancy walk.
Oh.
She gets the sense you don't know what she's talking about. To be fair, Jostic also looks like he has no clue what she's talking about. If you have any other questions, of course, Lanlin can help you, and he can point out where the mansion is and so forth. But otherwise, I will see you when you have my ring and my family's property. Goodbye.
And she Huzzah!
Walks through some curtains out of the parlor room.
Yes, yuck. You know West?
I do know West. I pull out. Do I have? I'm searching my bag for a compass, but don't find it. But I just kind of instinctively start walking.
You make such a big deal about knowing West. If you don't know West,
no, I know West. I just wanted to confirm it, but I instinctively walk out and start heading.
As he walks up, can I come to the gnome and pick him up like a little baby and say, "You're coming with us. You're gonna help us."
I really think I would be
and
more
I'm like shaking him a little bit. I'm shaking
okay.
My little
make
baby.
Make an intimidation check.
Make an intimidation check. Come on, lucky. Oh, I hit a 9.
A 9? I couldn't possibly. I'm sorry. My work is here. For a second, you looked like you were going to convince him for a
Damn.
Long adventure, but you have not quite convinced him. But what I will tell you what I'll do. And he pulls out a map, and he says, this is a map of the area. You can see where the ruins of the Ivy Mansion used to be. Here you go.
I take it from him and I say thank you.
Just between you and me, I really hope you win. Those Marrow boys, no good. The Red Lancers, I think, are trouble. So if there's anything I can do to help you, let me know.
I whisper back to him, do you know where I can get a quarterstaff?
Well, yes, actually. And he writes down, the gnomes have the best general shops here in Long Saddle. And he marks it quickly on the map he's given you, a shop. And he says, this is Six Horn Select Wares. Tell him Lanlin sent you. He'll do you a good deal. Anything you want.
Awesome. Thank you, little man. I pat him on the head when I put him down. Okay.
That's very offensive to my people. But I understand that it was done with a kind heart. So thank you and don't touch me again.
I look at him and I say, don't care, lol.
Okay. Alright, here's the map. Fuck you. He sort of walks inside.
Are we going to the place to get your staff? Is that what
Can we quickly just get like the staff? Like can we just fast travel that and say I got a quarter staff?
Yeah. Can do more. Don't forget, you just got 301 gold, so you can buy basically any weapons, adventuring gear, some healing potions, anything like that you want to get.
Or what are you guys thinking? I reckon I want 2 healing potions.
A heal. Yes.
A heal. I want 2 healing potions and my quarterstaff fixed.
Okay. Yep. That's easy. So that's gonna cost you about 105 gold coins.
Jesus. Oh, 2 my healing. God.
And that's mostly the healing potions.
Okay.
The quarterstaff doesn't cost very much. And, braced and reinforced with iron. You've got... Only you got healing potions? Nobody else gets
I'll
any?
Hold on to them. I got them. I'm from... Okay. No. I reckon you buy one, yuck. And Jaddy, Jamie, whatever your name is, you buy one too. Okay?
Can I buy some food? I really want the food from
the
travels.
Oh, food! Good idea!
Okay, so while you're getting your quarterstaff repaired, Janny sort of is competently purchasing rations for the road. Water
general
skins,
supplies, yeah.
General, the appropriate supplies. So you're getting 1 healing potion each instead, are you?
Yeah, let's do that.
Excellent, all right. So it's 100 and ends up coming to 160 gold. You still have 141 gold left as you make your way out of the town and start heading towards the Neverwinter Woods. So the Ivy Mansion, which again you know because you've spent a little bit of time in Long Saddle, is a kind of a local landmark. It was once the house of a very powerful wizarding family called the Harpels of Longsaddle. This very tragic story, family was run out of town, and for the last about 40 or 50 years, it's been this kind of place where, you know, local kids think is haunted and is generally somewhere that you know that people don't go. The Harpels were also like magical inventors, and some of their inventions and the things that they've done to the surrounding countryside and the creatures around it are another reason to stay away, which is why you're being paid to go and pay it a little visit. So to get there, you need to head west. It's a couple of options, I guess, looking at the map. You can take the road, which is the most direct route, but obviously, you know, more chance of bumping into the Lancers or other problem, you know, other people you might see on the road. You can try and cut through the woods, which is a more direct route, but there's the possibility of getting lost in the woods.
I actually grabbed the map because I instinctively want to take charge and prove that I actually know where west is.
I say, hey!
And I start heading through the woods, and I say, I know the shortcut. I've been here before. I know a shortcut. And we go off.
Yeah, I follow.
Okay, all right. Make for me a survival check if you've got the map.
Survival check.
Come on, Baz, it's down the bottom.
Oh, plus three. Here we go. 4, 7.
7?
I think that's terrible. I think we're getting really unlucky here. I think we're in trouble. We're in big trouble.
All right. So Yark takes the map and absolutely refuses to let anyone else see it. Keeps looking at it. Muttering,
it's like a death grip on the map, like it's not leaving my hands.
Every now and then he looks up at the sun and does that weird L thing with his finger and his thumb, like he's looking at it, nods, and then draws something on the map in a way that does not instill you with confidence at all. And after about 2 or 3 hours, you are hopelessly lost in the outskirts of Neverwinter Wood, and you still haven't arrived at the mansion, and it's starting to get late. It's starting to look like you're going to have to camp out in the woods tonight, which means that you're going to need to find somewhere to camp. So, can all three of you make for me a perception check?
I rolled a 8.
I hit 11.
Oh!
I hit 11. That's so good.
What was it? 8, 9, and 11?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Incredibly ill-prepared for this quite basic adventure. You're getting deeper and deeper into the forest, and you're getting out of the civilized part of the woods because you're rolling so badly. So you don't realize it, but you start creeping into the areas that are orc and goblin controlled in the woods, and passing the territory, missing the markers that sort of show the edges of their boundaries. And the only way you notice that is as you're looking for somewhere to camp, you spot a clearing ahead, and as you're heading towards it, you're almost upon it when you realize that there is already a camp in that clearing, when you hear the chatter of goblin voices. Now, does anybody speak goblin? You've got languages in the bottom left-hand corner of your character sheet.
I speak Draconic.
Yeah, no dragons here. No, so damn. None of you can understand, unfortunately, what they're saying. But they're having a chat, and you'd have to get a little bit closer to sort of see them, but you can just hear the voices. There's at least, you know, there are a few goblins, but probably it sounds like about half a dozen.
Can I duck down and, like, get my friends to duck down as well? Come forward a bit and, like, maybe see what kind of weapons they have, or, like what they've kind of, like, got going for them in the way of, like, munitions and stuff like that?
Totally. So you're going to need to get closer, which is a stealth check. So you're going to go ahead of the rest of the group.
Are we all going?
Yeah, together.
I've got the map, so, you know, maybe I should stay back with the map and make sure the map is good.
Me and Fruity, I kind of proposition Baz to stay down and stay away as he's still staring at the map. And I proposition Janny next to me to come forward and get a better look.
All right, so in that case, Janny and Kaskin both make stealth checks.
I rolled a 15.
14.
All right, both of you are able to... Let me just do the perception for the goblins. You're able to sneak up on the camp, and the goblins are so distracted that they don't... none of them seem to notice you as you sneak up to a opening in the crudely made fence, and you can see inside. And inside there's 5 figures, 4 goblins and 1 giant bugbear, which is kind of like an ogre, a bigger cousin of the goblins, who's obviously the boss. And they're fighting over a bunch of backpacks and crates that they have pulled off a wagon that they've obviously ripped off someone and snuck into the woods. One of them has pulled out of the wagon what looks like an iron chest, a locked iron chest, and they're pulling it from each other. All of them sort of so excited to try and break it open that they're and arguing so loud about it that they haven't noticed. You approaching, you're now almost within striking distance of them. The goblins all have little short swords, and the bugbear has a big club.
As I'm standing back with the map, I see like a glimmer of the chest, and I get very excited about treasure. Is it possible for me to stealth to a different area and maybe go for like prepare myself for like a ranged stealth attack or something?
That's very clever. But you're gonna need to make another stealth check.
Oh dear God! All right. Well, I'm plus four. Okay.
Oh, you're plus four. You should have stealthed up with us.
Oh, it's a 10.
Oh, it's a 10. Oh.
Right. So so Jenny and Kaskin, expertly, you make your way around the side of the fence, and Kaskin, you very carefully pull out your weapons. Jenny, you're preparing a spell, and you're about to attack the goblins when there is a crack and a shriek as from a branch on a tree opposite the camp. Yark comes crashing down and lands in the clearing where he was trying to get a sort of sniper's position above the camp. And the goblins all spin around in alarm as Yark falls down in front of them, which means if you're very quick, you can do something, but we're going to go straight into combat.
Okay.
So do you want to do anything in this moment of surprise, or are you happy to just see what happens?
While they're all looking at Yark, I guess I quickly use a spell to...
Yep, great.
I got like a frost spell, maybe I'll use that.
Yep, Ray of Frost. Okay, that's a plus three, so roll it for me.
18.
18. Are you attacking the goblins or the bugbear?
Goblins, I think. Goblins.
One of the goblins? Okay, yep. I think it's a d8 for Ray of Frost, so roll the damage. That'll just be the box next to the spell.
Three.
All right, so you... So a burst of ice magic comes out of Jenny's hand, and one of the goblins is covered in permafrost. Not dead, but shrieking in pain and slowed down. The Kaskin also can have an action if you want.
I also yell out, that was pretty cool.
Can I?
That's a free action. You can do that anytime you want.
Can I kick up one of my javelins, like from my back or something? I kick it up. I'm looking like a badass. And like I catch my javelin in my hand and I peg as hard as I can, chucking it across to a different goblin, aiming for the head.
Great. Excellent. Make an attack with the javelin.
I hit a 14.
14 will hit. These goblins don't have their armor on because they're in camp. So do the damage for me.
I hit a 17.
17 points of damage. Oh, all right. You shish kebab a goblin's head. His head snaps around, breaking his neck, but it doesn't matter because there is a javelin that has completely gone through his head as he goes down, as the two goblins beside him look on in horror.
Headshot!
And then they turn and look at Kaskin and they charge at you. Both of them attacking. Now, they rolled a 21 and a 10. The 21 will beat your armor class. The 10 misses and goes wild. But one of them does successfully hit you. And you take 4 points of damage.
Oh, my Lord.
But the bugbear, who is... the frozen one tries to run towards you, but the permafrost is locking up his arms. He falls over and trips and can't make it into combat. Oh. And the bugbear turns on you, Yark, really interested in the person who has just fallen next to the fire. And
he's fascinated. Trump and Yark.
He is fascinated, yeah.
I kind of like use the fire to create some like space between us, just standing on the other side of it, hoping he won't run through it.
First of all, he gets an attack on you, and then it's your turn. So he hits for 23. That will hit you. And he throws you, he picks you up by the scruff of your neck, and he throws you into the fire. And you take 10 points of damage. But also, as the fire smolders you, you take another 2. So you take 12 points of damage.
I'm on fire! Help!
Now, Yark, it is your go.
Okay, am I still on fire?
Yeah, as long as you stay in the fire, you
okay,
will continue
well,
to be
I'm
on
gonna
fire.
Get out of the fire. Can I tactical roll in the grass to try and get this fire off me? Because yeah. I am burning alive.
Very nice, okay. Make for me a dexterity. We'll make a dexterity check.
It is a... Oh, it's an 8.
An 8? All right, no, you're unfortunately still on fire.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Which means you'll take some damage at the end of your turn, but you still get your action.
Okay. How far away is he from me now?
He's very close. He's about
very
10
close.
Feet away.
Okay, well, can I use a dagger attack then?
Yeah, okay, so you run at him with the dagger?
Yeah.
Okay, so make... Now, if you want a little... Because of your class, you're a rogue. Mm. So just so you know, you can do something called sneak attacks. And to do that, you need to distract the person that you're attacking or attack someone that's busy doing something else. If you have... If you have advantage against them for any reason,
okay,
you get a whole bunch of bonus damage. If you had succeeded in sniping them from the hill, from the tree, for instance, you
nice.
Would have also got this.
That would have been really nice. Yeah. really.
So,
helpful.
If you have any ideas to distract them, or if you want to fight the one of the goblins that Kaskin is fighting, all of those things, you'll always do a lot more damage.
Okay. Is it? What's my other adventurer's name? Not Jenny. What's your
I'm Kaskin.
Kaskin, as I remember, since we've adventured before.
Your friend for 2 years.
I forgot to.
Is it possible that I can pretend to yell as if Kaskin's right behind him and it's like, Kaskin, strike now! But there's no one actually behind him just to try
yeah,
to get him.
Make a deception check for me. That's a great idea.
Kaskin, strike! I yell out. Where is my deception?
Come on.
Yeah, plus one.
Please.
Oh, it's a 2!
Oh, my God!
Kaskin, get him!
No.
The troll looks at you and he says, "There's no Kaskin. You're all alone, stupid dwarf."
No.
And you can make an attack, but now he's not scared of you.
I'm just going to be like, I've given up on the charade, so I just go for a close range dagger attack.
Make it.
And it is a... 16 with plus 4 is 20.
Okay, that hits, even with his newfound confidence, and do your damage.
My damage is...
Just want to remind you that Kray did 17 damage on his attack, not that it's a competition.
That is a 3, that is.
Okay, you did 3 points of damage. And the bug... So you just run at the bugbear, and you stab him with your dagger, and he looks down at your dagger in his chest, and his mouth... splits into a grin. He's got all these gold teeth.
Oh no.
And he is completely unfazed.
Help, I'm on fire and there's a weird monster in front of me.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Yeah, Yark's on fire, so you take 2 more
points. Oh no, I reminded the gods that I'm on fire.
Alright, I think you're at 16 now. Alright, the next one up is Kaskin.
Okay, so can I kind of dart past these goblins, looking very swift, and jump on this big prick's back and maybe stab him or something, and try to attack? Can I move and attack in one go?
Yeah, you always can do a move and an action. So make an acrobatics check.
Okay, here we go. I hit a 22.
Okay, so you jump onto his back, and so you can do two things. You can control where he moves, but also you have advantage on your attack against him.
Oh, I might take the advantage and stab him.
No, you can do them both.
Oh, well... Can I first stab him in the neck with one of my daggers as I flip it up looking like a badass and go, glah!
All right, make an attack, and if it's with advantage, which just means if you fail, you get a reroll.
Okay, to hit, I got 21.
Okay, yep.
Damage, I got 6.
Okay, so you do 6 points of damage as you stab the bugbear in the neck, and he definitely feels that as he roars in pain, but he's a big, huge brute, and you can now also... You can force him to charge into the fence, into the fire, into the goblins, into Yark. It's all up to you.
Yeah. Can I lean him back? I thrust my dagger backwards and I try to get him to smack into a goblin that's right behind us. I just reek him back as hard as I can.
Okay, he smashes. He falls back into the goblin that is too slow to escape because he's still covered in ice magic. Which I realize now is a delicious dessert accessory. But he falls on that goblin and it squashes him into the dirt dead as you roll off his back and get back to your feet.
I wink at Jenny.
All right, Jenny, you're up.
I roll my eyes. go to Yark and then try to get him out of that fire. Like, try to...
still on fire.
You can use your frost magic to just put him out if you want.
Yeah, yeah, I'd like to do that. Let's help him out.
Okay, so Jenny casts her Ray of Frost again and extinguishes the fire on Yark. And you can probably also just move around to the side of the fire to get away from some of the goblins. One of them chases you, Jenny, and attacks you and gets a 15, which, what's your armor class is 13, so that's a hit. And they do 8 points of damage to you. So you've only got 15, which means you're down to 7 now.
Oh, you're hurt.
So Jenny is not a fighter. She's, as a spellcaster, she's got a lot less life. Hmm. The other goblin tries to run at Kaskin and gets a 24. That's also going to hit and does 3 points of damage to Kaskin. But it's the bugbear that we're worried about, and the bugbear is furious at you, Kaskin, and picks up where he dropped it, his huge club, which you see is a giant mace, and he, like a baseball batter, battering up, swings it in the air, and then just aims for your midsection and gets a... I rolled an 11, which is plus 4, is a 15. Kaskin's armor class is 14, so that connects, I'm afraid to say.
Oh, damn!
And you take 13 points of damage. You are thrown across the clearing and you smash into the wagon, breaking the back of the wagon, and go down on the side of the wheels. You're not out of the fight, but you've been knocked prone.
And I cough blood.
You cough a little bit of blood.
Like a badass.
And the next one up. And all of this could have been avoided if Yark knew how to read a map.
Gotcha, read! I whisper that from under my bloody breath. I go, dwarf can't read.
Okay, Yark, you're up.
Is the big guy still, like, is he still looking at...
Yeah, he's at the moment, he's completely obsessed with Kaskin and he's not paying attention to you.
Okay, I want to do a stealth ranged crossbow attack. I like pull out my crossbow and aim for the back of his head.
Cool, so you've got probably some kind of quick release system for your crossbows. You pull it out and you fire a shot while he's not looking at you. That is a sneak attack, mm-hmm. which means that you're going to get all the sneak attack damage. So make a crossbow attack.
Crossbow attack, that is a... it's 11.
11? No, but I said it's advantage, so you get a reroll if you miss.
Oh, excellent. Let's do that again. Oh, for 18.
18, okay. Excellent. So roll the damage.
And the damage is 4. 4. Oh, 6, now, sorry, 6 total.
Now at the bottom of your sheets, there's a thing that says sneak attack, and roll that as well.
That is a 8 total.
All right, so you see 8 plus 6 is 14 damage.
Nice.
As the bugbear is walking over to Kaskin, sprawled prone beneath the broken wagon, the bugbear raises its club to... decapitate Kaskin, just knock his head into the dirt as Yark pulls out his crossbow at the last minute and fires a bolt through the back of the bugbear's neck, and the bugbear turns around, quizzically looks at you, and then collapses on its knees and falls into the muck as the rest of the goblins panic and flee. Congratulations.
Yes!
You have taken the goblin camp.
Oh, man, I've killed all the big guys.
What?
I kind of like yell out and exclaim, I've done it again!
Me bloody and bruised. I don't say anything as I'm falling into being unconscious.
So yeah, this is probably an okay place to camp for the night if you want, but also there is the goblins' belongings, the weapons on the ground,
yeah,
and
the
stuff that was in the wagon.
Can we search the chest? Was there a chest that came out of the wagon?
Yeah, just make investigation checks for me.
I got a 13.
I got a 22. Yep.
All right, Baz, I think if you get the highest, mm-hmm. you're the one that spots, finds the chest. One of the goblins was trying to actually get it out of the clearing while you were fighting, but dropped it in the mud when they ran. Mm. The rest, otherwise there's let me just roll it. There's 90 gold coins you find, some in silver, but a bit of it in gold as well. And so you can divvy that up. That's 30 gold coins each. But you're the one.
Can I keep it for myself? if they don't notice.
Oh. No, I steal it from him and put it in my pouch, all of it.
I think you all find a little bit of gold, not this time, but
so no, Baz.
but Baz, nobody else has spotted that you found this chest because you rolled the 22, it's off to the side.
I kind of keep eye contact with Cassidy and Jenny and slowly step backwards, like one step
as
at a time.
As I'm still slumped over.
Kind of back into like the darkness towards the chest.
I need medical attention.
But you will get none of it. So you have lockpicks, I think, don't you, Baz?
I believe my equipment...
I think you do. Rogues have it, basically. Okay, so just make a sleight of hand check if you want to use them.
Sleight of hand. That is a 26.
So while the others are dealing with their wounds or sensibly searching the wagon, you've snuck behind one of the goblins' tents and you very carefully and expertly pick the lock of the chest and it clicks open. And inside it, you can see what looks like a pair of boots.
Like, hold up the boots. Can I, examine them? Is there anything I can gain from the look of them?
You can make a... why don't you make an arcana check? Knowledge of magic.
Okay. That is 15.
15. Yeah, these are definitely a magic item of some kind. Oh. These, no one would have put these boots here unless they did something.
Put them on! I say, put them on!
Without hesitation, I check if they're my size and squeeze into them, into the boots.
As soon as you put them on, they sort of shimmer and then they resize themselves to your feet. Oh. They're big, big boots. They go up to just below your knees and they are boots of elven kind, which means that you now have, you make no sound when you're walking. And
that's
cool.
Advantage
on dexterity checks. If I ask you to make a stealth check, that's about something to do with walking or moving, you get advantage.
Oh yes, okay, cool.
Lucky.
So again, nobody knows that you did this, but then in a second you're going to have to walk around the tent wearing a brand new pair of shoes.
Sneak back to the party. Back to the party as if nothing happened.
Okay, make a perception. I'm not going to let you get away with that. Jenny and Kaskin, make perception checks.
I got a 14.
11.
Okay, neither of you notice anything.
Oh my god.
All right, so you get a chance to have a quick rest over the night. If you all click the short rest button, you can reset to your hit points.
Just take
we'll say
rest.
Enough to reset to maximum hit points at the moment. Okay. So just... tick that button, click take short rest. You don't need to use any of your healing potions because you have a bit of time to sort of get your health back, bandage yourselves up. And after still a couple of hours before dawn when you feel ready to go again. Is anybody taking the map from Yark?
No.
Oh no. Yeah, Yark, if you have the map, it pains me to say it, but make for me another survival check.
What did you want me to roll there?
Survival.
Oh, survival. Sure.
Please. Come on.
Yo, it's an 11.
Is there anything we can do about it?
Yeah, if you've decided that Yark's not allowed to do it by himself and you're helping, then you
I scream at Jenny, take the map! Take the map off him!
I don't hand over the map, but I allow them to maybe look at it as well and compare notes.
Okay, Jenny, with Kaskin's help, you get an advantage. So make two survival checks and tell me the highest one.
One's a 22.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So you have a quick look and you discover that he's drawn stuff all over the map. He's holding it upside down.
There's a big arrow that says we are here, but it's on multiple
and
points on the map.
It's pointed in the ocean, by the way. And you look at it and you realize that you are actually only a couple of hours from where you started in the wrong direction. But if you travel, you should be able to get to the Ivy Mansion. You travel west, it turns out, you'll get there in a few hours.
Let's go, let's go. Let's walk.
All right, so you make your way through, you're still cutting through the woods, and you've probably lost a little bit of time by this digression, but because you were going a more direct route, you're still going, you're going to hit there about the same time as if you'd taken the road. And
thank God.
You make your way to the outskirts of the Ivy Mansion and you can sort of see the road appearing on the horizon as the woods thin out again, and you find yourselves in the Harpel Estate, where the Ivy Mansion is. And when I say Ivy Mansion, I'm talking about like a couple of ruined walls, a collapsed roof, and one sad, lonely, partially destroyed tower covered in wild regrowth. The ivy that it gets its name from has reclaimed most of it, and most of the house is very long gone. But you found the ruins, and your contact, Miss Anatolia Grimm, told you that she believes that there are workshops underneath the ruins where this ring that she sent you for. But you're gonna have to find your way down into them.
Okay, can we approach it?
Okay, yeah, you can. So you head towards. Now, just so you know that this area, as I said, is considered to be a little bit cursed. Children of Longsaddle stay away from the Ivy Mansion. People talk about strange beasts and old magical traps that were never disarmed. So just a bit of fair warning.
Can I kind of tell Yuck, like, I kind of like nudge my head forward and tell him to go? I'm like, go, you go first, Yuck. I'm like, go on.
I kind of inch my way forward, kind of like looking around.
Carefully, use the word careful.
All right, make for me an investigation check, Yuck.
16.
16, all right. You work your way towards the ruins very, very carefully, paying attention to the grass as you go and keeping an eye out for strange magical beasts. You haven't spotted any immediately, and soon you arrive at the ruined stone wall, and exploring around with 16, you suddenly realize that under the grass by the wall, it's very likely that there would be a cellar trapdoor, a trapdoor leading down underneath.
I think it's over here, and I kind of like
shout out loud.
I yell at my party, which is still back behind me. It's over here. I think there might be something over here. I kind of like wave my hand for them to come over to me.
I grab Jenny's hand and say yay, and I start to sprint towards Yuck's trapdoor that he's found.
Okay, right. After the first bit of competent adventuring, you make a lot of noise, and there is a gunshot cry as sort of all of the animals in the area are woken up as you race towards the wall. And as you do, you see that Yark has pulled the grass aside, and indeed there is a giant, rusted, corroded, old iron trapdoor leading down into the grass, and it looks like it is locked.
Can I try to
I pull out my trusty lockpick once again.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I use on the chest.
I was going to break it.
No, I will use that, and I start fidgeting with it.
Yep, that's a sleight of hand check.
And that is a 13.
A 13. All right. Oh. Very competently, Yark, you walk forward with the lockpick. And you pull out the little tiny inner hooks and the tension wrenches and all the little bits and pieces, and you insert them carefully into the lock pick. And for 5 minutes, nothing happens. And for another 10 minutes, nothing happens as Jenny and Kaskin watch you and you start to sweat. And after another 5 minutes, you're gonna have to work out. You're gonna have to either make it look like you're meant to do it, because you're not opening this door today.
I turn to them and say, "There's some sort of spell casted on this lock that makes it possible to pick."
Can I walk forward and kind of like push Yuck to the side and get the butt of my big spear and smash it down as hard as I can, right on the lock?
Oh, you're gonna try and break the lock?
I'm gonna break the lock.
Make for me an attack.
Okay, spear attack. I hit a 6.
Okay. Yark aside, yeah. And you grab your spear and you stab down on the lock as hard as you can. And the lock surprisingly gives to the side, and you hear a hiss and a click. And then suddenly in your face, a green mist is spat into Kaskin's face. Make for me a constitution save, Kaskin.
I hit a 10.
Okay, you scream in pain as a kind of acidic magical mist flashes into your eyes.
My beautiful
and the
face.
World goes dark as you suddenly realize that you are standing blinded in perhaps the most dangerous place near Longsaddle, on a mission to retrieve a ring for a widower who you know little about, in a competition of sorts with the Red Lancers, your sworn enemies, as the sun It sits high in the sky above an old ruined castle. Oh. It, such is the fate of, I believe they were called the Chuffsags, who are now in greater peril than ever before. And we will, to find out what happens to them, tune into the next episode of All in D&D.
Yay! That was awesome.